Proverbs chapter 16. Suppose tonight I was to tell you that I had a special guest tonight that was going to come here and delight us with his presence. And he's in a side room over here. And this man is known as the wealthiest man on earth. No, not Elon Musk, all right? He's also known as the wisest man on earth outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was going to come here tonight and just give us a few moments. He's got another meeting in downtown, so he's got to leave right away. So he's just going to come for a short time to give us a few nuggets of wisdom. And then came King Solomon into the room and graced us with his presence. And he looked at us and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, young people here, you know, I want to tell you tonight, I want to give you one piece of wisdom, one piece of advice. Of all 3,000 proverbs that I wrote, there's one that I really want you to make sure that you know." And let's suppose he quotes for us verse number 25. All right, let's look at that. Proverbs 16 verse 25 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Now, with all the impressiveness of King Solomon, what we know of him, sure, we know of some flaws in his life, but for God to say he's the wisest man, there's a lot to that. So when that man speaks, he's someone you want to listen to. When you read the book of Proverbs, it's something you want to pay attention to. And whatever he would say to me in that moment, I would hold on to it. If he said this verse to me right here, right, came in here and said, "This is one thing. Of all Proverbs you could look at, there's one piece of advice or wisdom that I don't want you to forget. It's, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." That would be something that I would think a lot about. That would be something that I wouldn't let go from my memory. It's something that I would hold on tight to. And I think it's something that every one of us should hold on tight to. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the way thereof are the ways of death. Let's pray. Dear and Father, Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for scripture, Lord. Thank you so much for the wisdom that is all over the book of Proverbs, Lord. Just so much, so much valuable truths, principles, Lord, that we can apply to our life. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd use this one tonight. Proverbs 16, verse 25, Lord, I pray that it's something that every single person here, young person, adult, parents, everybody here, Lord, including myself, would really, truly think about tonight in our lives, our own personal lives, and use it to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Years ago, I like reading books, and I read of a story that happened years ago about two men that were sitting on a big log. And they were in the woods together hanging out, and they were on a hill. And as they were on that log, it was a big log that had been there for many, many years, and they were sitting on it together. True story. One man was on one side of the log, and one's on the other side, and they were sitting there talking. One man that was kind of facing the downhill was kind of taking his boot and just kind of rubbing, scraping the dirt. You know how you do it with your boot? And the back heel there, and you're scraping the ground. And as he just kept pressing up against the ground, he kind of caught onto a root there. And as he caught onto that root, he kind of pushed against that root where his leg kind of straightened out. But when he did that, the log kind of rolled back a little bit. And then it rolled forward and kind of carried a little bit of momentum. And the guy on the front of that log felt that momentum, and it kind of pushed him off. And he kind of fell off. And as he fell off, it made that log start rolling down that hill. And the man that was on the front of the log started running down the hill trying to get away from this log. And the man who got off fine dusted himself off and looked down the hill, and he saw that log completely destroy his friend and kill his friend in that moment. And the newspaper article said one man was on the right side of the log, one man was on the wrong side of the log. Tonight I want to preach that to you tonight, on the wrong side of the log. I want to look at some stories tonight of some people who... One was on the right side of the log. One was on the wrong side of the log. I think of reading in my Bible. And as I was reading in my Bible through the years, this story comes to mind. One day I was reading my Bible, and I'm thinking of two young fellows who were born in the same house. They were born in the same house, just like you have got kids in your house. They were born in the same. They were raised the same. And these two, by the name of Cain and Abel, raised by the same mom and dad. One turned out to be a shepherd with many sheep out in the field. The other turned out to be a gardener who grew corn and vegetables, beans, squash, tomatoes, you name it. These boys were Cain and Abel. From the time they were little, bitty boys, once a year, mom and dad would get them together and say, "Boys, it's time for the sacrifice. It's time for the sacrifice. We're going to go out and do exactly what God told us to do. And we're doing it just the way He told us to do." You can imagine, like, little kids, just like your kids. Anybody have kids that ask lots of questions? No, never, right? They never ask why. Why do we do that? Constantly, right? You can imagine, put yourself in their shoes as parents, and there's those boys. They didn't just do it without asking questions. "Why do we do this, Mom? Mom, Dad, are we going to kill another one of those little lambs?" "Yes, son, we are." "Are we going to make the blood come out like we did last year?" "Yes, we are, son." "Why do we take the skin off and cut it into pieces like that? Will the fire come again and devour it?" You know, you can imagine all the questions that a little child would ask. Why do we do this? Why do we do this? And you can imagine the parents, Adam and Eve, saying, "Because that's the way God told us to do it." How many of you have ever said that before to your kids? That's what the Bible says. That's what God told us to do. Because if we don't have that answer for them, what do we have? Everything we believe should be based upon what God says. Amen? Now, we've got rules in our home, but they're based on biblical principles, Lord willing, and what we've seen other people do and mistakes. But it all goes back to what God said, God's way. And they hear that every single year. They'd come out, and man, why are we doing it this way? Again, Mom, you know, kids forget. Last year, it's like amazing sometimes with my kids. We did something, and I'm like, they're like, "Oh, I've never seen that before." I'm like, "We did it last year. You didn't remember?" "No, I don't remember that." I'm like, "How do you forget these things?" You know, kids forget stuff, and then they remember certain things better than they remember other things. Cain and Abel, I imagine, every year, "Why did we do this, Mom? Why did we do this, Dad?" And they'd go through and explain it all again. Because that's the way God told us to do it. But then the time came where there was a surprise for them. They were teenagers, becoming young men, to where now they were old enough to make their own sacrifice. And now it was their turn to sacrifice a lamb. And I imagine Abel was like, "Well, hey, that's easy for me. I'll just go get one of my little lambs. I'll sacrifice that." But Cain was like, "How? Well, what am I supposed to do? I don't have a lamb." And parents will say, "Well, you know, you're going to have to make a deal, some type of trade arrangement with your brother and get a lamb from him." Of course, you know the story. Cain, you can imagine, came to his brother and said, "You know what? I don't think, you know, I've been thinking about this, Abel. I think that, you know, I don't think I should have to trade my stuff to get your stuff to make a sacrifice. I feel like God should be able to accept my sacrifice, what I have to give him. Rather than taking what you have, he should be able to accept." And Abel, like a good brother, said, "No, I don't think you should change it. I don't think you should change what Mom and Dad said. They said this is what God told us to do. This is God's way. I don't think we should do our own way." But Abel, "I don't see it that way. I think it should be this way. It's all I. Somebody better say to Cain, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of" what? Say it with me. Death. You know the story of those boys made sacrifices. Abel made his sacrifice with a lamb. Cain made his sacrifices with his vegetables that he had. Oh, the finest of the finest. He thought, "God certainly will accept this, won't he?" But no. We know the story. I won't belabor it. God accepted Abel's, but he didn't accept Cain's. And Cain got upset about that. And you can imagine, "Abel, I told you you shouldn't change it. We should have just done the way that Mom and Dad have always done it, because they said that's God's way. That's what God told us that we're supposed to do it." And Cain got very upset about that. "Abel, I don't mean to make you upset." But it got to a point, you know, you can imagine Abel saying things, you know, "Whatsoever you reap," or "Whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap it. Whatever mistakes you make, you're going to reap those benefits of that."
Now we're at that point where Cain is so angry, so upset, that they're in a field talking together about this. Gets so intense that he grabs some type of blunt object and just hits his brother with it and kills his brother. Death. Right there. Happens. When I read that story of Cain and Abel, I think about that boy, that two men on that log. One was on the right side of the log. One was on the wrong side of the log. I also think of two other brothers in the Bible, born in the same home, had the same mom and dad, same environment. Their names were Jacob and Esau. One was an inside fellow, one was an outside fellow. You could say they were pretty much opposites of each other. And one day, the outside fellow, Esau, has been out hunting and doing what he loves doing, but to no success. And he comes in famished, the Bible says. He's hungry, he's thirsty. He's dying of hunger, he thinks. And when he comes in, he smells. Have you ever come home sometime and your wife's cooking something? You thought you were hungry and you just got way more hungry when you smelt that food when you came in the house. Holy moly, now I wasn't hungry before, but now I'm hungry. And Esau was like, "Brother, what are you cooking? Man, that smells good." And he says, "Oh, I'm cooking some pottage." Chili, you could say. "I'm cooking some pottage. Man, I've got to get me some of that pottage. Give me some of that pottage. Oh, I'd be glad to arrange for you to have some of this pottage, but it's going to cost you." "Cost me what?" "Well, you're going to have to pay for it." "How am I? What do you want me to pay for it with?" "I want the birthright." "The birthright? You can have that thing. I don't need that. I don't want that old. I mean, that's way off in the distance. I don't need that. Who cares about a silly old birthright? Of course, for that pottage, I'll take that. Give it to me." "Okay, sounds good." Gets a pen and paper. "Here, sign this right here. There we go. Good, good. All right. It's all on pen and paper. There we go. We got it all settled. Great, here's your chili." And he eats that chili, and man, he's feeling great. And in a moment where Esau thought he was starving to death, he makes a decision that he later regrets. A foolish decision. I mean, you could look at him and say he's a first-class idiot. First-class idiot. My dad would say that all the time. First-class idiot. You could just put idiot across his forehead. That's the decision that Esau made. In those days, Jacob and Esau, it was different than today. In those days, the oldest got everything. The oldest got the property. The oldest got all the grain that they had, got all the, every single animal, the sheep, the cows, the goats, the camels, whatever they had, the title to the house. Everything belonged to the oldest child. And he gave away his birthright for some pottage. There's some people today, young people today, that are giving away their birthright, giving away what their parents are giving them for some earthly pleasure. Because all the grass seems green on the other side. Boy, that just seems amazing. Boy, that's something I want. How come they get that and I don't get that? Man, I want that. And they give away what has been given to them, rightfully theirs, by the Lord, by parents, and by other people in their life who have invested into them. How many have ever seen somebody throw it away? Every one of us could raise our hand. If you've been in church for a length of time, you've seen young people who have sat here at Blessville Baptist Church who have finally, birthright wasn't worth it to them. "What is that? I don't need that." All it took was some friend to come along and influence them the wrong direction. And now they're no longer in church. Their lives are a mess. It's a wreck. You know what happens, teenagers? Another one, he's going to make the same mistake. You've heard the stories. You've seen it happen yourself. You've seen the mistakes. Oh, you've read about them in the Bible. And you've seen it all happen time after time after time again. And it doesn't seem to be enough ever for young people. Because they're going to make the same dumb, foolish decisions and be on the wrong side of the log. I'm thankful for a dad who, I've said numerous times, taught me how to see how decisions play out. And I didn't just have to see someone make a wrong decision that I thought was wrong. I got to see what that decision did for them. Young people, you'd be wise. Parents, you'd be wise. You're raising kids. See what decisions that other parents make for their kids and how those turn out for them. to help yourself make better decisions, young people to make better decisions. Jacob and Esau here, Esau made a foolish decision, something he thought was way more valuable. We look at that and we think, wow, that's so dumb, that's so stupid, that's so foolish of him. That's how mature Christians look at you young people when you just throw it all away. Everything's been handed to you. There's teenagers all around out here in our area that don't have a parent that brings them to church. Don't have a grandparent that brings them to church. Doesn't have a bus that brings them to church. Nobody has taught them much about the Lord. They haven't been handed any of that, young people. Oh, and you think it's not worth much. And you're willing to give it away because of some guy or some girl. Is that going to be you? I hope not. I think of also the wise man and the foolish man in the Bible. Talk in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks of two fellows who built their house. One built their house on sand. And boy, he thought that was a great thing, and he just jumped after it. Didn't think about the wind, didn't think about the rain, didn't think about the sea level, didn't think about any of it. Just went out there and just started building it on the sand. Oh, we know the story. He didn't think about those things. Boy, when the rain came, what happened? When the winds blew, house went crashing down. But then God talks about a man who built his house upon a solid rock, solid foundation. Boy, when the winds came to that house, when the floods came and the rains came, didn't bother that house. It was there to stay. Jesus says there was a wise man also. He was wise because he built his house upon the solid rock. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. I want you to get that thought in your mind tonight. There is a way that seemeth right. I'm not just preaching to the young people here tonight. I'm preaching to the adults as well. I'm preaching to myself as well. I'm not just preaching tonight to the lost people. Oh, there's a way that seemeth right to many religions out there. There's a way that seemeth right to them, and the way they think is going to get them to heaven. But the Bible says, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I've run into many people in my lifetime who've given me all the different reasons of why they think they're going to heaven. But it's, well, I think. And it's not, well, the Bible says this, and that's what I did. They don't ever give you that answer. Rarely. Boy, when you do, we're like, man, praise the Lord. Sometimes you're like, oh, I believe in Jesus. Boy, everybody believes in Jesus. The devil believes in Jesus. Doesn't mean he's in heaven today. Is that what you're going to put your eternity in? There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. How about also we think about in Luke 16, Lazarus and the rich man. A rich man, boy, he lived in a mansion on a hill while Lazarus was down at the gate begging. Both men died the same evening. One landed in the lake of fire, hell. The Bible says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Boy, he saw Abraham, and over there with Abraham was his beggar friend, Lazarus. And the Bible says that Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, the place we call paradise. Now these guys could see each other. And there was some conversation across the great gulf. You could say, the rich man, I'm tormented in flames. Please just send Lazarus to give me a drop of water. Just a drop. Send Lazarus. And Abraham, son, you had your opportunity in your lifetime. And you threw away your birthright. You gave it away. You had your own way of looking at it. You thought what you knew was better than God's way. And now you're paying for it. Nobody can help you. Nobody can get across the gulf. But Lazarus was comforted in Abraham's bosom, the Bible says. Here we have the same story. One man was on the right side of the log. One man was on the wrong side of the log. I think of two men at the rapture. Two men were out in the field, and suddenly the trumpet blew and the voice of the archangel was heard, and dead in Christ rose up. One of those men just disappeared up into the sky. His body transformed, his corruptible suddenly putting on incorruption, his mortal suddenly being made immortal. The other fellow was standing there, scratching his head, rubbing his eyes, and wondering, what happened? If we look back a little, we'll see that one had repented of sin and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and become a child of God, while the other said, now I have my own way of looking at that. I have my own thoughts about that. I don't see any sense in the fundamental Bible believing approach. I believe if a person does the best he can, or I think if they're very nice and they're a good person, they can get to heaven. These two fellows were obviously on opposite sides of the log. One was on the right side of the log. One was on the wrong side of the log. I think of the Pharisee and the publican. The Bible says, "Oh God, I want to thank you that I am not as all these other people. I fast twice in the week." Boy, he's just boasting. "I give tithes of all that I possess. I'm so thankful that I am not like these other publicans over here." To sum it up, that's not, if in case you're wondering, that was not fully, I didn't write that all down. You're like, I don't remember the King James sounding exactly like that. I didn't have it memorized, all right? But I think of the Pharisee and the publican and the difference between those two men. Jesus said to the other fellow, the publican, smote on his breast, bowed his head, and bade, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Two different viewpoints. Completely two different responses. Jesus said one of those fellows, the old publican, was justified, while the other fellow was not. There was two men again. One man on the wrong side of the log, while the other man was on the right side of the log. "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Even though it looks right, it's not always right. Even though it looks right, it's not always right. And lastly, I think of one hanging up on a cross over Golgotha outside the city of Jerusalem. He is a thief and has been caught in the act. He has been sentenced to death by crucifixion on the cross. Over on the other side is another thief, guilty of the same act. Both are thieves, both are guilty, both know they are guilty, and both are paying the price for their guiltiness. And right in between those two stands a huge log, sticking right up out of the ground. There is a cross tie on it, and a man has been nailed to that log. He calls himself the Son of God. As he hangs there, one thief suddenly begins to speak. "If you really are who you claim to be, why don't you get us both down from here? Why don't you get yourself down from here with your magic powers that you have? I don't want to die. I've got more to life. I want to live. More things I want to do." He was worried about the now and his life that he wanted to live. The other thief on the other side said, "Man, don't you fear God?" The other thief, "You think he's God?" "He said he's God. I believe he is. I believe he's God." And he said, "Would you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" And Jesus answered back, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Once again, one man was on the right side of the log. One was on the wrong side of the log. I want to ask you tonight, young people, adults, parents here tonight, one of the first times we get to face that decision of being on the wrong side or the right side was the day you got saved. There are a lot of wrong ways of how to get to heaven. But Jesus said there is one way, the way. He is the way. That was the day they accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here tonight and you don't know that, I'd be kind of foolish to think that somebody here doesn't know. I know there's somebody. There's got to be somebody. My brother and sister grew up in a pastor's home. My brother didn't get saved till he was 15. My sister, 13 years old. Grew up in a pastor's home. So to think, oh, Brother Nicholas, we're on a Wednesday night. You're going to preach about salvation. Well, that's part of it. Because on a Wednesday night, somebody can still get saved. Somebody can still be on the wrong side of the log and get on the right side of the log and get that settled tonight. So I pray if that's you, please take care of it. Don't be embarrassed. Everybody here at one point took care of it. Said, I want to get saved. I want to repent of my sins. I don't want to do this no more. I don't want my way. I want his way. I don't want to trust in me anymore. But after that, here's the scary part of the Christian life. In the Christian life, there are many independent Baptist churches out there that have a lot of different views. Many Christians out there who claim to be Christians have a lot of different views. I really don't care what my view is. I don't care what your view is. I care what God's view is. And if it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's not his way, it's our way. My dad would call it Cain theology. We've tried to take Christianity and change it to the way that we think. I think it's better if we do this. I think it's better. We can reach people better this way if we can relate more with them and be more like them. Man, if you, my dad preaches a message on music. And he goes through the last 100 years of America or more. I think it's over now. It was 100 years when I was a kid. Now it's 100. It was from 1900 all the way till now. But he goes through the history of America, showing you how the culture of America changed. And the number one thing that caused it to change was music. Not only has it changed the culture of the world, it's changed the culture of our churches. As the world has gotten worse, our churches have gone with it. We've tried to become more like the world so that we can get in there and reach them. We want to go get in the trash can so we can find that sandwich. No, we don't need to do that. God said we need to stay the same. No matter if things change in this world, we got to stay the same. Not just to do it just because, but because it's God's way. Cain thought his way was better. Oh, it was a good, nice way. He did a good thing and a nice thing. How many have ever heard, well, they're good people and they do that? Is that what our Christianity is going to be based upon? Our doctrine is going to be based upon, well, they're a good person and they live like that and they do that. That church does it and they're okay with that. Is that the type of Christian that we are today? Is that we're just going to throw up some, which way is the wind blowing today? Okay, I'm going to go with that. What's trending? What's the easiest way? Oh, the easiest way is never God's way. It's never God's way. It takes courage to stand up for what you believe in. It takes courage to follow the Bible and do exactly what it says. Yeah, listen, anybody can get saved. It's really not hard. Jesus made it to where everybody can get saved. So there's a lot of Christians out there. The hard part is actually living for the Lord the way He wants you to live for the Lord. Not the way that you think. Not the way that you think, well, it's easier if I do this. I like that person, and they're nice, and they live like this. I'm going to live like them. It's amazing when you challenge people. I won't say names or anything, but my brother challenged somebody we've known since we were kids. He's older than us, and now he's become a pastor. Been a pastor for about 5 years. And boy, he made a post on social media, and it was just like, what in the world? Music and dress standards. It was just shocking. Like, where did this come from? This is not what you've stood up for your whole life. This is not the way your dad, he grew up a pastor's son. I mean, down the road from us, not far from us. All of a sudden, boom, my brother challenged him. Why, text messaged him, hey, what's going on, man? Why are you doing this? Well, since when have you changed? And this is all right now. Hey, brother, no change here. No change here. Hope you're doing good, serving the Lord. Praise the Lord. Proud of you guys. No change over here, though, he says. No change. What do you mean there's no change? You've changed everything that you believed just like that. Or maybe you never believed it. You were just waiting for the opportunity to change. If you knew him, you would know, well, he's not. It's really not his decision. He's just following a bunch of friends that are influential in his life. That's the sad part that I see as Christians. Is we really don't know what we believe because we haven't tried to learn it. We only believe it because, oh, our pastors preached it. Is that why you believe it? Just because it was preached behind the pulpit? Or do you believe it because it's from the Bible and you have seen it with your life and you've studied it out and you know that's what the Bible says? I'm going to believe it. Aren't you? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful I get to come to a church. I know he's my father-in-law, but I'm glad I get to come to a church where a pastor preaches with boldness the truth. I don't have to wonder if he's just going to, you know, give me a soft. He preaches the truth no matter what we think. No matter how hard it is, I'm thankful that I got to grow up with a dad who preached the same way with me. And I grew up in a church where, man, we had preachers come in who just preached God's word. And not only preached God's word, but actually stood up and lived God's word in their life. Today we've got, you go to camps and you go to youth conferences. And boy, teenagers will go to camps and youth conferences and they'll hear great preachers preach. Then you find out in their personal life, they're completely different. They don't even live what they preach. They're just getting popular, going and preaching places, but their home church, they're something else. My warning to you tonight is just this. There's the right side of the log and the wrong side of the log. God didn't show me in Scripture where God says, you know, everybody has their way. Everybody gets to have their way of what that's going to please God. No, there's only one way to please God. There's only one way to heaven, and there's only one way to please God, and it's to live our lives according to the Bible. There is a reason that he gave us this. So many churches today are, you know, picking and choosing things to preach, what not to preach. You know what it's causing? It's causing weak Christians in the pew. We don't have that excuse at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You don't get that excuse. I don't get that excuse. Young people, you don't get that excuse. You've been given the truth. If you're thankful for truth, would you say amen? Boy, as we raise our children, I'm young. My oldest is 9. But I got to constantly ask myself, Am I teaching my kids what needs to be taught to them? You know what can happen to most good parents is we depend upon the church to do it all for us. We think, oh, if I send them to Sunday school, they're good. If they're around everybody at church, it's good. Oh, there's been a lot of young people that grew up in the same homes. One of them caught it. One of them didn't. Are you doing your due diligence at home? I don't know how my kids are going to turn out. Not looking forward to that day. I am and I'm not. It's a scary moment. Brother Jeff, you're going to be experiencing it here pretty soon. But every one of us that have children, boy, I challenge you. Are you teaching your kids what they believe? What the Bible, or sorry, not what they believe. Are you teaching, there's a lot of things they want to believe that you've got to change, right? Are you teaching them what the Bible says? And do you have Bible time in your home? Do you have time where you get to open up the Bible? Man, I'm thankful for Sunday school classes and the classes that my kids get to be a part of. It's amazing how many you would not believe. I mean, if you're a parent, you obviously know. But it's amazing how the things that you're teaching them in class, they're holding on to them. I've got Audrey, who's 2 years old, and she's coming home singing new songs all the time. Songs I've never even heard before. Good songs. And she's just walking around the home, singing them all the time. And I'm like, where'd you learn that? Did you learn that in class? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I learned that in class. I love it. I love those things that are being taught to my kids at church. But I've got to do my job as a parent. Or else my kids will fall by the wayside when they turn 18. I'll tell you this right now. Leaders that were in my life that were 7, 8, 9, 10 years older than me, that have kids that have now graduated from their homes. I'm talking about leaders that were in my life that chose to go the wrong direction. I don't know of any of them where their kids turn out. And I don't say that to be mean or to criticize. I just say I don't see a good product in that way. Because when you go opposite of what the Bible says, when we go opposite of God's way is, it's not going to work out. Now, it's not guaranteed if you, man, you live the best life you can, the best Christian you can, you have the greatest home you can possibly have, that all your kids are going to make it. It's not guaranteed. They have to choose it for themselves. I mean, I was grew up in as good of a home as you could possibly get, and I was this close. Music almost got me. Kids at college, man, they introduced me to the wrong kind of music. Man, I was this close, but I was taught what I believed, and I knew what was right, and I knew it was wrong. Even though my flesh may have liked those things, I couldn't do it without a guilty conscience. And boy, what I knew was right on the inside got me to make the right kind of decisions. It can help your kids. It can help each and every one of us. I challenge you, teachers, man, make sure you're teaching kids what they should know. Teach them what they should know. There's a right side and a wrong side. Young people, you're going to face that decision very soon. You get to decide. What am I going to do? Parents, what am I going to do? What decision am I going to do? There's people that were in this church 5 years ago, but decided they want to do their own way. No longer here. No longer in church. Is that going to be one of the teenagers here? Is that going to be an adult here today that decides, you know what, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to stand up for the Lord anymore. I don't want to be busy being a teacher anymore in the church. I don't want to be a bus captain anymore. I don't want to be a bus worker anymore. And it's all back to what Cain said. I. If you're not careful, we'll be on the wrong side of the law, and destruction comes from that. Death comes from that. Sorrow, heartache comes from it. You've seen it. You're here on a Wednesday night. This is the crowd that has been in church. Come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We're here all the time. We come to all the events. We have seen everything. But are you forgetting things that happened in life? Or remembering the things that God has put in your life for a reason? For you know how to live the future in your life. Because there are things that happen all the time around us that if we're not careful, we'll give up because we haven't prepared ourselves for the future. There's things that are going to enter in your life this coming year. Unexpected. Are you prepared for those? Because if you can prepare yourself, build a solid foundation like the wise man did, you have a solid foundation. Like Pastor says, good people given enough time will make a good decision. Good people. Are you setting yourself up for your future? Young people, are you setting yourself up for your future? Some of you are going to go off to Bible college. You're going to be around other kids from other churches that have other beliefs. Are you just going to be around them and let them influence you? Or are you going to stand up for what you believe. I thought when I went to Bible college, everybody believed exactly what we believed. How many went to Bible college? Raise your hand. Anybody else was kind of shocked when you got there? And went, oh, we don't all believe this? You guys believe that? Whoa. It's like, oh, I didn't know that. I hope you don't go to college like that. You're going to get tempted, young people. You're going to get tempted. As the more you become teenagers, your relationship with your parents is going to be strained, and it's going to be because of you. My relationship with my parents was rocky at times. I'm glad it's not like that anymore. But I'm glad that my parents, no matter what attitude I gave them, taught me what was right. Do you respect your parents? Do you respect your pastor? Do you respect what's been given to you? Can you take your Bible? I wonder if there's any teenagers here tonight that are upset about something, bitter about something. Maybe they say, you know, when I turn 18, I'm out of here. I'm not doing that anymore. Can you open up your Bible and say you're making that decision, future for yourself, based upon a Bible verse, what the Bible says? Can you do it? Will that decision be based upon the Bible, or will it be based upon, well, I? Because there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. It's destruction. It will destroy your life. These people here in the pews here tonight, they love you. They care about you. It's the only reason why this Bible is taught. The reason why a pastor teaches us the truth. Any pastor that opens up the Bible and just preaches the truth, no matter how hard it is a pastor that loves you. It's a pastor that loves me. I have a lot of respect for any preacher that gets behind the pulpit and preaches the hard things. Man, you know what's easy to preach? The love of God. That's easy. It's easy to preach. Oh, God loves you. It's hard to preach on the other things in the Bible. There's some stuff in the Bible that's hard. But I hope tonight that we realize one simple decision can get us on the wrong side of the log. I've seen some good people. I've seen deacons in my life. Great, great families I would never think would be out of church. Made a few wrong decisions. Brother Gordon, how many years have you been in church here now for? Yep. Too many to remember. Brother Gordon, you've seen a lot. Seen a lot. Many, many years, you've got to see a lot. Seen a lot of people decide to be on the wrong side of the log. Many people that are still here today that have decided to be on the right side of the log. Where will you be 5 years, 10 years from now? What side of the log will you be on? Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, thank you so much for Scripture. Lord, thank you so much for principles. Thank you so much for the parables in the Bible, Lord, that you've used. Lord, it's sad to see some of the lives that were destroyed in Scripture that made wrong decisions. But Lord, you gave us the Bible. You gave us Scripture for us to learn from it, to learn from other people's mistakes, to learn from other people's successes, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we would slow down life. Slow down our decision-making and decide, is this what God wants for me, or is this what I want for me? Is this God's way, or is this man's way? Am I following the trends of this world, the trends of just Christian people, or am I actually basing what I do, what I believe, where I go, things I say? Is it based upon the Bible? Is it based upon biblical principles? Lord, I pray that Blessedville Baptist Church, we'd be strong Christians. We know what we believe. And we'd have faith in you, Lord, that you're going to bless us if we do what's right. Lord, I'm thankful for a mom and dad. Lord, I'm thankful for leaders in my life that taught me the right way, that helped guide my life. I owe a tremendous amount of thankfulness to those people that helped me in my life. And I pray that you'd be with the young people that are here, Lord. So much time, energy, money, things, so much has been invested through the years in these young people. Lord, I pray that your hand of protection would be upon them. I pray they'd make great decisions. I pray they wouldn't bring sorrow to their parents' heart. I pray they wouldn't bring sadness to their friends' heart, Lord, to other adults in this room that have been there for them and helped them along the way. Lord, it's heartbreaking when you work with a young person and you've taught them everything there is to know, everything you can from the Bible, and you've helped them, you've prayed for them, you've been there for them in their toughest times, and then someone comes along and just influences them the wrong way and destroys their life. Lord, I pray that wouldn't be said about the young people here tonight. I pray they'd be mindful of what Solomon said, Lord. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the way thereof is death. Lord, I pray they wouldn't forget those words in Jesus' name.